Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
We're in the second week of our sermon series, Double-Edged Reality. You know, when we as children of God, when we say that we're living in Christ, it means that by the Holy Spirit, we are equipped to overcome. We're equipped for the victory in this world, to overcome temptations, to overcome trials, to overcome difficulties. You know, and at the same time, whilst we're overcoming, we wait for God, the return of our Savior. So we're warring and we're waiting at the same time as Christians, as children of God. And, you know, this sermon series, there are four titles, 4 weeks in this series. They're designed to help us recognize that there are always two realities. There's always another side, good and evil. There are always two realities. And just because we're in Christ, just because, you know, we have the victory, it doesn't mean we're not going to fight. But just because we fight doesn't mean we don't have the victory. And as usual, as I said earlier, the sermons are going to be online. So if you want to listen, you want to send it to somebody, they're on the website. This sermon series, the 4 weeks, were put together by Jasmine. Last week, she explored with us, you know, the two cosmic realms, helping us to focus on you know, the realm of the Spirit of God, not just the realm, this earthly realm in which we live. Today, the title is A New Creation, Breaking Old Foundations. Before I get into the text from Corinthians, I have a question. Has anybody here moved house? You know, maybe in the last 5 years? The last 5 years? Okay, a few people, a few hands, a few nods. Yeah. What was that like? Oh, have anybody here ever moved house? Is it easy? Is it nice? Is it pleasant? Goodness me, because if it's pleasant, come and talk to me. Let's set up a business. We'll do a website, we'll make money, yay. Deceiving ourselves. It's not easy, it's not simple, it's not always straightforward. You know, to move house means different things to different people, and sometimes, for some of us, it carries memories. For some of us, it carries nightmares to move house. And we all agree that moving house is stressful. As you know, we recently moved house. 6 months ago, we moved into the area. Here's a picture from one of the rooms. As you can see, 6 months in, we've still got boxes in there. And has anybody ever experienced that? You move in and the boxes are just still there. The bags are still there. I can see, I saw that look. You know, and you're thinking, gosh, when am I going to empty this thing? When am I going to empty this thing? You know, in some countries, like Australia or America, for example, moving house is not always, not simply in some cases, just moving things. People don't just pack their belongings and go. They, in some cases, they pack the actual house and go. They move the building. And I thought, oh, I want to see if, you know, because I've never witnessed it. So I went online to go look for something. So here's a clip from 6 years ago about a house that was moved.
One of the oldest homes in South Carolina will be moved tomorrow to a new location.
The Wilkins House on Augusta Street is moving to a new site to be saved from demolition. News 13's Evan Donovan joins us with more on the effort to save a Greenville landmark. Evan?
Yeah, Darcell, the original 23 acres on Augusta Street was purchased by prominent textile and metalwork dealer William Wilkins, who commissioned one of Greenville's most famous builders, Jacob Cagle, to construct the home in 1877. Now, 137 years later, a feat of engineering and some fundraising will give the house a new home.
The Wilkins House has anchored Greenville's posh Augusta Street area for nearly 140 years. But tomorrow, it'll move to its new digs right across from Walter Ezell's house.
I actually grew up in the neighborhood, one block over on Prentice Avenue. And this house was on my paper route.
Ezell is shooting photos of the home to document what fundraisers say is the largest house move in South Carolina history.
So much of old Greenville has been torn down to make way for new stuff, and then we always regret it later. This time they were able to save the house.
The land was purchased late last year by a developer intending to tear it down and build there. The Palmetto Trust for Historic Preservation says it stepped in and raised $300,000 to help a new buyer with the $1.5 million it will cost to renovate and move the house, in exchange for covenants never to tear it down or move again. But how do you move a house?
That's a process. First, we do the excavating around the house, dig trenches, tunnels underneath the house. You cut the holes in the foundation. Then at that point, you start installing the beams.
You get the idea. It takes a lot. The bottom line is,
1 foot at a time.
The wheels will move at less than half a mile an hour across this lot. And these house movers of sorts say it's no big deal.
It's like you and your everyday job, you know, it's kind of second nature to us. It's what we're used to doing.
Second nature to them, but interesting to others. Robbie Jones lived on the second floor as a child more than 60 years ago when her grandfather owned the funeral home downstairs.
I've got mixed feelings about seeing it. I'm glad it's being saved, but it's sad to see it move from this location.
But not all the neighbors are sad to see it move to this new location on Mills and Elm.
Well, I think it's a major upgrade to the neighborhood. You'll go from a duplex to an 1883 Victorian mansion.
Now, the house movers literally tell me they're going to start tomorrow morning around 7. They hope to be finished sometime around 3. There will be power outages to about 50 customers in the area. And the city just released yesterday that 3-decades-old trees that were in the way of the move are going to be cut down but replaced with other trees in other areas at the cost of the people moving the home. Reporting live from the Greenville News Center, I'm Evan Donovan for News 13.
Isn't that fascinating? They discovered or they recognized that there was something worth keeping about the house. There was something of value. So they said, you know what? It needs to move from where it is. The whole house. Anyway, fascinating. Let's get into the message quickly. You know, when Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and our text today is taken from that letter, in some regards, what he was telling them was pack up and go. Pack up from your old life and go. The stuff that you've been doing, let it go. Stop it. If you look at, and we're going to need our Bibles, if you look at 1 Corinthians 6, you know, from the beginning of 1 Corinthians 6, you can see him, he's telling them, he's saying, listen, stop suing one another. Last week, Jasmine was telling us about Corinth, and that place was just not the holiest of cities. I mean, promiscuity was rife. You know, the attitude in Corinth was anything goes. The attitude was, it doesn't matter. It's okay. Just do it. It's okay. Live for yourself. Live your own life. YOLO. You only live once. And do it all. And that was the attitude because of freedom. Corinth was becoming a godless place, a place where even people were kind of being worshipped as gods. Kind of reminds me of London in 2020. And Paul is trying to deal with some of these issues. You know, he recognizes the church has given in. They've given in to the culture of society. And instead of living as Christians, set apart, and instead of being over here inviting people to a new lifestyle, they're moving back. They're moving into society. Now, in today's text, I'm going to read from verse 7. Of today's text, yeah? So 1 Corinthians 6, and I'm going to read from 7 to 11. 7 says, the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cleansed? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And what Paul is doing in this text to this church, he's shining a light on the character of the church. In verses 7 and 8, he is effectively, you know, he's telling us that no believer should see another believer as an adversary. Let me say this, you know, I mean, these guys just, there is no reason why why you should believe any Christian is your enemy. Let me say it now. No Christian, no believer is ever your enemy. Yes, they can do wrong. They can do you wrong. They can do silly things and bad things and dumb things. But they are not the real enemy. It is not the person that is the enemy. And yeah, maybe traditionally, you know, you're used to getting your own back. Maybe you grew up in an environment, a family or a society where the culture is an eye for an eye. Maybe. But you know, if everybody takes an eye for an eye, sooner or later, we'll all be blind. You know that. We can't do this. And that was what was going on. That's what Paul addresses in this. And he's addressing this very spiritual blindness in verses 9 and 10. It says, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And then he lists all these out. And they're on screen there. And they're in your Bibles, in your laps or in your hands or on the screen if you're using a smartphone. Interestingly, this verse 9 is actually the first place in Scripture where there's a mention of not inheriting the kingdom. It's the first time not inheriting the kingdom is mentioned as a thing. It's what Paul says. And the Bible, you see, because the Bible tells us over and over and over that the kingdom of God is a good place. You know, Jesus himself affirmed it. He said it in Matthew, you know. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all other things will be added, will be given to you. You know, he affirms this kingdom of God. And Paul is warning that those of us who proclaim Christ, for us to inherit this kingdom of God, we cannot behave in the same manner as those who reject Christ. So this text is calling us. It's calling us to examine our morals, examine our integrity, examine our character. Let me address something now. Let me say this now. This text, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, is, it's really important that when we read the Bible, when we read Scripture, we read it for what it is. I like to balance things out as a person. You know, seek to balance something out. See if there's another side. And when we read Scripture, it's critical that we read it in context. We focus on what the Scripture is actually saying. Yes? And we don't make up stuff about what we think maybe it might say. Yeah? It's really important when we do that. So I want to address this quickly. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 is one of the most famous scriptures used to justify homophobia. To justify homophobia. And unfortunately, Christians are the ones who use this as a stick to hate people. Let me be clear on something. That is wrong. The Bible doesn't call us to hate anybody or to reject people. The Bible never calls us to do that. So let's look at this. Let's look at it carefully. Yes, it is listed. Homosexuality is listed. It is talked there. It's mentioned there. And I do not, but on the basis of this scripture, I think practicing it is wrong. I do believe that. But unfortunately, what we do is we use this as a stick and we beat someone who's same-sex attracted. We beat them and beat them and beat them. We forget the rest of the scripture. We forget the other verses that are in there. We forget the other lifestyles that are also mentioned. We give those people a free pass. So let's look quickly at the list. You know, many of us will say, oh, we don't practice idol worship. Yet I know some people who will touch wood and pray for luck when they want something good to happen. But no, we don't practice idol worship. No, 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 it's true. Because if you call it idol worship, they go, no. Why are you touching the wood? Go and do your own research. Understand what it means. I find it really fascinating. When people say touch wood and they touch their heads, I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Touch it again. Mm-hmm. We say we're not thieves. Yet I know Christians, I know believers who will quietly walk out of the shop when the shopkeeper gives them a little bit too much change. They won't go back and say, hold on, no. You've given me too much. Yet we say we're not thieves. We say we're not cheats. Yet I know people at the bus stop who will jump to the front of the queue because then they say, well, you don't mind being wet. You're not in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. And they jump to the front and just get on the bus before anybody without any care or concern of the people that were waiting before them. See, Paul is not he's talking about people who continue, who persist in this without repentance. In what areas of our lives have we also been spiritually blinded? And Paul is calling us to a new standard of morality, a new standard of integrity, a new standard of character, a standard that goes beyond our situation, goes beyond our society, a standard that goes beyond our setting. And you know, it might be something that we're used to. These standards may be there. Maybe it's how we were taught. Maybe it's how we were brought up. But Paul is calling us to more than that. He's calling us beyond that point. You know, it's interesting. And I was saying to Sister Rosalind, thank God for you, as she prepared today and in the sermon. And we read this scripture earlier on because scripture teaches, you know, it says, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. Old things, the old has gone, the new is here. Sorry, King James, if anyone be in Christ, you know, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. The message says it like this. The message says, anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. It's a and this person is created new. The old life is gone. And that brings me to verse 11 of our text. You know, Paul says, and this is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Look at the first sentence. Paul highlights where the Corinthian church, honestly, where the London church was, where some of us listening today were. He says that. And he says, that is what some of you were. Look at the next word. First word of the second sentence. But. It says, but. You know, the word but can be a brutal word, can't it? You know, it can be, but can also be beautiful. It can be brutal or beautiful. But. But. I mean, let me give you an example. So I say to you, let me give you an example. I say to you, you know, thank you for applying for this job. I've looked through your application form. I've looked through your CV. I can see that you have a lot of experience. Your CV shows that you're a very intelligent person. You've done all these wonderful things, and you have a sense of the company. But, oh, you know it's going to be brutal. How about another one? Let me give you another example. I say to you, you come to me, you come for your haircut, and I say, oh, we're going to do it. You know, don't sit in front of the mirror. I want to show it to you. It's really special, you know. And then I finish cutting your hair, and I say to you, listen, I've cut hair many times. My hands are always very steady, and I'm very, very good at what I do. And I was cutting your hair, and everything was fine, but... People are thinking, don't tell me but. Get me a mirror. Don't tell me but. But can be brutal. But you know, Paul uses it in a beautiful way. Paul says but as a sign of redemption, as a sign of escape, as a sign of salvation, as a means of showing us that there's a way back. He's showing us that, listen, if you trip up, you can pick up. If you mess up, it's okay. You can clean up. But, he says, and this is what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Amen. People of God, the whole point of Christian formation, the whole point of Christian discipleship, Christian spiritual discipline, spiritual formation, the whole point of this is for us to move from learning to do something, remembering to do it, to where it is automatic, where we just do it. How many people here can drive? How many people here drive a car that is manual? Yes, or you can drive a manual car, right? Good. When you're driving a manual car, do you have to say to yourself, okay, I'm going to put it into gear 3 now. Okay, I'm going to put it into gear 2 now. Okay, I'm going to hit the brakes now. You just do it. It's intuitive. It's instinctive. And the whole point of Christian formation, the whole point of this is to move us to this point where the things that Paul is talking about, the lifestyle that Paul is calling us to, we just do it. We do it without thinking. It becomes who we are, not simply what we do. These decisions need to be second nature to us. You know, there's a, when we talk about Christian formation and Christian character, there's actually a word for it. Shall I tell you what the word is? Holiness. That's it. It's holiness. He's calling us to holiness. That's what holiness means. He's calling us to live that life. It's the goal of discipleship. You know, it's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I think our sister Joyce, she talked about us being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, you know, representing Christ to the world. And that's what happens. This holy people who can shine his light in this world. As I bring this to a close, I want to tell you a story of morals, integrity, and character. 8 years ago, there's a Spanish long-distance runner. This guy's name is Iván Fernández. Iván Fernández Anaya. He was running in a cross-country race in Spain. And he was very well-known, very, very good at what he did. But he wasn't leading. He was second in the pack. Ahead of him was a Kenyan called Abel Mutai. And the distance between them was so great. It was so far, it was great. It was huge. Abel Mutai was ahead, and Iván knew he wasn't going to win. However, when they entered, as they came around the bend, in the final stretch, the final straight, just approaching the finish line, for whatever reason, Abel Mutai slowed down. He stopped running. He just stopped. This guy... The thing is, he'd mistakenly thought he crossed the finish line. For whatever reason, he thought, oh yeah, okay, it's okay, I'm done, I'm finished. Fernandez, the guy behind him, came right up behind him, and did he pass? He didn't. Instead, he says to him, go on, run. And he gestures to the man. And eventually, Abel Mutai crossed the finish line first. When they asked him, they said, and in a moment, I'm gonna keep talking, and I'm gonna play a video, and you'll see it, you know, see it happen. And when they asked him, they said, why did you do that? He said, I realized this guy should have been the rightful winner. He created a gap that I could never have closed if not for his mistake. As soon as I saw his mistake, I knew I was not going to run past him. Now that is integrity. This is the guy here, and you'll see it. So this guy's coach, Fernandez, his coach was disappointed, his coach was upset, and his coach says he wasted an opportunity. Winning always makes you more of an athlete. You have to go out there to win. And this guy, he stood by his decision. He told reporters, he said, even if they told me that winning would have earned me a place at the European Championships, I would not have done it. Because today, with the way things are in our society, in politics, where it seems like anything is acceptable, a little bit of gratitude and honesty goes a long way. He could have done that. But he recognized this guy is actually a better runner than me. And he gestures him to the front. Saints of God, how do we get to this point? How do we leave the old and live out this new life? Well, I can tell you, it's not by standing still. It's not by remaining in the same place. It's not by doing the same old, same old. Christian character, Christian formation is a process. You know, it's a process. And it's a process, it's a series of little choices. The choice to deny yourself. The choice to die to yourself. The choice to let go of the practices and the activities that society says is okay. That's how you do it. You make those choices. The choice to let go of what society says is acceptable. The choice to accept the call of Jesus and to move beyond the expectation of our culture. That's how we do it. Integrity is judged by our consistency. The consistency in what we say and what we do. And Paul is encouraging that church in Corinth and this church in Pollard's Hill to live by the values of holiness. That's what he's calling us to do. Earlier on, I asked for a show of hands, those of you who've moved house and understand it. Remember the boxes I showed you that were in our home? You know, those boxes contain things that I have held on to, things that I consider to be important, things that I have not thrown away, things that I have not discarded. Things that I, you know, things that mean something to me. And I want to keep hold of them. I want to find a place for them. Thing is, in our old home, each one of the things in those boxes had its home. It had its place. Now, they're displaced. Because it's a new home. I'm not quite sure what to do. Not quite sure where to put them. Not quite sure what. I've got some books that I need another bookcase, but I'm not quite sure. Do I get another bookcase or do I just give these books away? You know, not quite sure. You know, sometimes the truth is hard to bear. The truth about what we need to change in our lives sometimes is hard to bear. The old habits that need to break, sometimes facing that is hard to bear. The truth is that some of the stuff in those boxes just need to be thrown away. That is the truth. I'm standing here before you and I'm saying it. And Sumi is going to be so glad to hear this. So I ask you, what are you still keeping in a box? You're hoping to find somewhere to put it. That old habit, that thing you used to do. And you say, well, you know, it's who I am, it's okay. Is it? So I've done it all my life, so you know what, God understands. God does understand. But let me tell you, just because God understands doesn't mean God accepts. Read your scriptures. What in your own life needs to be discarded? What in your own life needs to be displaced or replaced? For us to be a new creation, we must be prepared to break those old foundations. We must. To change those old habits. We must. Just like we saw in the video at the beginning, moving house is not usually easy. It can be uncomfortable. It can be dangerous. It can be expensive. There's a cost to change like that. We heard £1 million. Dollars, sorry. It can be uncomfortable. And because of this cost, people avoid change. People don't like it. People kick against it. People fight it. People reject it. Even though there's a benefit, and we know that we will reconnect, the truth of it is sometimes we need to disconnect. Sometimes we do. To disconnect from how we've done things. To disconnect from what we used to know. What we used to say. Disconnect with. There are some people that you call that you shouldn't be calling. Moving house is to take us away sometimes from what we feel, what makes us feel safe. What is familiar to us. Moving house is to uproot, and to uproot is to displace the roots. To uproot is to remove the roots, but you cannot remove the roots without exposing the roots. Just like that house in the video, its foundations are its roots, and they were exposed. They were lifted up for the world to see. And the truth of it is the roots cannot move from right soil, from wrong soil to right soil, without being exposed, without being lifted up. So I ask you, what in our lives need to be exposed? For us to be in the right soil. What needs to be exposed in this church for us to be in the right soil. As I talk, just let the Holy Spirit answer that in your hearts. What needs to be exposed? God is our security, and with Him, we have nothing to be afraid of. It's God that covers us. It's God that protects us. But He also does that via His people, via the right people. And if you want to make yourself accountable, if you want to talk to somebody, do so. You want somebody to pray with you? Come and sit at the front here. Somebody will come and pray with you. If you want to talk to me, come and see me. Make an appointment. Let's have a confidential conversation. Let's do that. This church family is here for you. You know, change is not always easy. And giving the Holy Spirit permission and allowing the Holy Spirit to discard some things in our lives is not easy. To displace some things. It's not easy. Those habits, those practices, it's not easy. Things we've held on to that have become like our foundation, it's not easy. Can we do it? Yes, I say we can. Just because it's not easy doesn't mean it's impossible. I say that we can. You can live a life that is holy. Jesus has already made the way. He's already made the way. And I want to read, just to end now, the words He said to His disciples. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version, from John 16:33. He said this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.